From the short tracks to the super speedways, from two wheels to four wheels, it's Revved Up ATX on the Horn with Bobby Chaffee and Rodney Rodriguez. Presented by AMM Collision. This is where Austin talks racing.
It is where Austin talks racing. Revved Up ATX on the Horn, Saturday mornings rolling along. Give the show a follow on Twitter and Instagram at Revved Up ATX. Of course, the station at the Horn ATX. Everybody be careful as you are out and about on the highways and byways of Austin, Texas, and Central Texas. Republic of Texas, the rot rally in town, Bobby. And man, Coda just continues to bring in cool stuff. That is the perfect place for the rot rally.
I think it really is, man. It's kind of out there ways where the motorcycles can actually do lots of different stuff. Those groups can go a number of different directions to take those afternoon cruises. A little hot for them.
Yeah, well.
But I think COTA's the perfect place. I feel like COTA's finally getting its footing back again to being an integral part of the sports and entertainment landscape in Austin again.
It is. It really is. And it's just a slew of stuff that's been happening out there. It's a great place for it. And there's going to be flat track racing out there. That's going to be pretty interesting there. I saw some of that yesterday. So get yourself out there, out to Circuit of the Americas, a COTA, as we call it, the Rot Rally there. It's going to be lots of fun stuff. And be careful, seriously, folks, out on the roads. I mean, those bikes are out there. They can get lost in that blind spot. And we don't need anybody hurt. We don't need any of that happening. So just be careful. Check in on the text line anytime, 337-3776. That is the Specs text line, of course. Showtime Bobby Chaffee across the way, J.R. John Reichel behind the glass. I'm Rodney Rodriguez. We also, before we dive into our plethora, extravaganza of race talk, hashtag real race talk, that we have for you right here on the Horn, live, local, digital, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com, have to do a Revved Up ATX and Horn happy birthday to the world's strongest man, Mark Henry, celebrating a birthday today.
And he's all elite now, isn't he?
Isn't he?
That was the picture that I thought I saw. Kind of surprised when I saw that. I wonder what our man Speedway Stu thought about that change there for Mark Henry.
Yeah, absolutely. So we will, lots to cover today. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll talk about the All-Star Race as NASCAR is back in Texas once again. Also, SRX. Have to talk about the new series that debuts here. You'll see it on CBS tonight. We talked to Willie T. Ribbs a couple of weeks ago on the show. So we'll talk about that as well. And at the conclusion of this segment, we will have a brand new segment called Rate the Command. So stick around towards the end of this segment. We'll talk about that. Want to dive in, Bobby, with IndyCar. We talk about the Daytona 500. Daytona starts. Once Daytona ends, the season gets going. Well, IndyCar, their big race is somewhat about a quarter of a way through the season. Indy's out of the way. Elio Castroneves wins that fourth Indy 500. Just a fantastic race. They go to Detroit. They're running back-to-back today and tomorrow. They'll run on the Detroit street course. And I want to talk about IndyCar because I saw Roger Penske talking this week, and one of the things that Penske is really looking to do is hammer down a TV contract for next season. And word came out that apparently CBS, who will have SRX, is not really looking to move forward. I thought CBS was going to be a major player for IndyCar. IndyCar's kind of in a tough spot right now when it comes to the TV stuff.
I think they really are, just because of the fact that most of their races and stuff are televised on NBCSN and Peacock. Peacock is going to stay. Obviously, NBCSN is not, so that kind of opens up the door for somebody else, but there's nobody else. I think it's going to depend on what Xfinity, Comcast, whatever you want to call them, does with the USA Network. I think we're going to find out a lot more about how they're going to utilize that network when it comes to the NASCAR stuff towards the end of the year. That's the part to me that's going to be the unique channel that's going to channel the different ways that some of this stuff's going to happen. But right now, without CBS trying to pop on to get some IndyCar races, that does put Penske in a bind.
I would have thought that CBS would have been a logical player for that, but they are apparently they do a lot of stuff on CBS Sports Network. But again, for IndyCar, that's not really a logical landing place. You're already on NBCSN or Peacock, like you talked about. So that'd be a lateral move right there. But I still wonder if ABC, Disney, ESPN, if that could factor in somewhere along the line as well. I mean, ESPN obviously has Formula One, but that's more of a Sky Sports thing to where they really just fish that out. And, I mean, that is solely Sky Sports that it just happens to be run on that ESPN family of networks. But I wonder if ABC, I think ABC would be a really good landing spot for that. I mean, obviously you'd bring back the tradition of the Indianapolis 500 on ABC or ESPN, but I wonder if that's not going to be something that moving forward we see them become a player.
Well, I think the part of it too, you got to think about this new deal with the NHL, right? They end up signing this massive 7-year deal with ESPN and then later to Turner Sports or Warner Brothers, whatever you want to call that entity. That's the other thing you got to think about too, in terms of all these different media mergers that are happening right now. That can change the landscape in a heartbeat, because we saw that back in the day when it was Versus, then it got bought out by a Comcast when that deal happened, and then they merged, then it became NBCSN, so that's how they got the hockey stuff that far down. And same thing with the IndyCar package. The cable stuff had been on Versus forever, and it was hard to find them. So I think the mergers are going to be the biggest challenge, but I also just think that it's just going to be hard. The way to get all the money is to get two players involved.
Sure.
I mean, that's what's everybody done. Even WWE, we talked about Mark Henry's birthday. That's how they got double the income. They put part of it on USA and then moved SmackDown to Fox to get double the money that they wanted. Or get the money that they wanted from two different sources, rather. So I think that's what Pinsky's going to have to do, is he's going to have to get another network involved. I think the ratings numbers were pretty good for the Indianapolis
really
500, for all things considered, right? With there wasn't a lot of stuff going on without the Monaco lead-in.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that NBC sees the value of IndyCar racing and racing as a whole, but I just don't know if monetarily this whole deal about NBCSN going away has really thrown a wrench into a lot of plans.
It really has, and that's where I think IndyCar is at a point, especially now they're talking about another motor manufacturer coming into play here. The driver roster with IndyCar is really good. I mean, that's, you look at the standings right now, you got Pillow there, you got the young gun, and then Dixon, you know, the legendary guy right behind him. I mean, there's a nice balance right there, and so many different storylines that are going to play out the rest of this year. And that's, and I think with the Castroneves win at Indianapolis, that only enhances that and makes the product even more desirable. But I think for IndyCar, it does need to be on a bigger stage, which, you know, we see with I was talking to somebody during the week, and they said, why not Fox? But Fox is in a situation where Fox could probably accommodate it, like you're saying, but it would just be half a season, because when we get to the NFL time, I mean, forget about it. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, NASCAR, IndyCar, all of them, it's all irrelevant at that point, because it's NFC football at that point with Fox. And I don't know, but I just wish that they could find a landing spot to where they're going to have eyeballs or the possibility of eyeballs being on them all the time, because the product is really good.
Well, I think IndyCar runs into the same problem that NASCAR has. My dad doesn't have anything other than just the very basic a cable system, so when it's not on network TV, he's like, I guess they don't want me to watch. I was like, well, the problem is they put that stuff on FS1 and they put that stuff on NBCSN so they could expand the brand, right?
Right.
People are like, I want to watch that NASCAR race. I'm going to have to go up, pony up the money to get the extra stuff, to get the extra package. So I don't think, I'm like you, CBS Sports Network from NBC Sports Network is not a lateral move. Actually, I think it's a step below, because I don't think there's as many CBS Sports Networks in homes as there is NBCSN networks.
And that's where Fox really has done well, because obviously, like you just mentioned there, you do have to, depending what the packages of your provider, FS1 may not be in one of those packages. But FS1, I really see it as a really premier player when it comes to sports broadcasting. And I think a big part of that has been NASCAR, because if you remember correctly, that was Speed. I mean, that was Speed TV. It transitioned over, and it was very, very motorsport heavy, NASCAR leading the charge right there. That would help carry that over. FS1, I would like to see if they'd maybe drop in a super late model race or two or something along those lines. I mean, I know we see the World of Outlaws over on CBS Sports Network and some of the various MAV TVs and so forth. But I think if FS1 started trickling in something, a modified race, just something into their package right there, I really think that they could blow the doors out of their motorsports coverage.
They could, but I mean, think about what they did with the NHRA,
mm-hmm.
with the way they had to do all their stuff tape delayed, right? That's what you don't want to see happen to IndyCar is a package like the NHRA has.
Yeah, they definitely need to be, as good as the product is, as good as the value is, and the driver roster, and again, I think this is where people's ears are going to bleed when they hear this. I think this is where you have the Jimmy Johnson factor. I think that the Jimmy Johnson factor, and now Elio Castroneves, if you can get him a full-time ride, he's not in the field for for Detroit. He'll be racing tonight with the SRX. But I think that's where Jimmy Johnson is going to be your point man right there that can really help provide this to a prospective TV network or some entity that wants to cover this. I think Jimmy Johnson is going to be really key with this.
I think so. I think it has to be because he's the most well-known driver in the IndyCar series.
Yeah.
To mainstream media, to mainstream fans. You know, not your casual fans, I guess I should say about that. People recognize the name Jimmy Johnson, right? They don't always know who Scott Dixon is. That's why the win with Helio Castroneves at the Indy 500 was such an important win, just because people knew who he was. He was more of a household name from his crossover with Dancing with the Stars. And so that's why I think that Jimmy Johnson becomes a player in this TV deal. Roger Penske's not stupid.
No.
I mean, he knows what he's doing.
And I have to appreciate, with IndyCar, it's nice now to have that transparency there to where we know what's going on. I mean, in the past, it was always, I mean, we don't know. We could speculate and go to J-Ski and go to Speed Sport and try to, you know, Adam Stern and all of these guys and try to have half-ass an idea what's going on. But Roger Penske just holds press conferences. So he's very transparent. He wants to grow that product. That's his passion. And they'll get this figured out. They will get this figured out. Formula One, dude, it's like it just keeps getting better. Finally, and last weekend, that had some short track feel to it.
It really did. It was Azerbaijan, I think, is what we finally figured out how to say it when we got to listen to the British folk over there talk about the name of the race. I should have just called it Baku. That would have been a whole lot easier.
That's what I was going to tell you. Somebody told me, hey, just say Baku. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, apparently it's a third or fourth year of that racetrack, but I love the layout of the racetrack running between some of those old buildings. Apparently Fast and Furious 9 did some filming over there too, but you talk about a strange race. The ending itself with Perez winning was interesting enough, right, to make it totally of a shocker, but the different things that happened in that race were just borderline crazy for a Formula One race.
It seriously was. I mean, that was like a Bristol night race of the past or something where stuff kept happening right there. So it's Perez, it's Sebastian Vettel, Pierre Gasly, that is your top three. You have what an unlikely top. Oh, Perez, you know, he's had podiums there with Red Bull this year, but Vettel's another one of those guys where I mean I'm a fan of Sebastian Vettel, and to see Vettel, you know, get that podium there for Aston Martin, I think that's huge for them, and Alpine is progressing, and we just continue to see what we'll see them next week at France, but we just continue to see what we're not accustomed to with Formula One. We were just talking to the guys out in the hall from the Colonel's show to Jamie and them, and they were talking about how the difference with NASCAR was it seemed like they were all packed together a little bit. Hell, Formula One is packed together a little bit right now.
Comparatively to what it was, I mean, they're not drafting down the straightaways, but I mean, you know, at the beginning of that race, your top three was still nose to tail and could see each other. The fact that, in Formula One, when the drivers can see each other in front of them, you know, that DRS stuff in the DRS zones can kind of pop up. That's when you know you got a pretty close race anytime you see DS, those things open up.
Yeah, so we'll give them the week off, and then we'll head back over, and we'll wait to see if that Sebastian Vettel dominance will kick in at some point, or if it gets back to him and Verstappen. Don't get too excited. This may have just been one of those races where everything happens. So we'll see what happens when they get back after it next week at France. All right.
What do you think about the chance of a doubleheader at COTA they canceled their Singapore race?
Man, I would be totally good with that. I would be totally good with that. And we'll have Mark Garrell with us.
That's right. Yeah, Mark can at least make it one race for sure.
Yeah. New segment. One of the most important things about the race. And I know you're very passionate about this, BC. To get you ready for the race, the command is so important. The driver starts your engines. However, and there's a lot of different ways that it happens. So with Revved Up ATX, we talked to our friends over at AMM Collision. Of course, they are our title sponsor, AMMCollision.com. Hey, their reputation is no accident, and a good command is no accident. So what we're going to do on this program here every week at the end of the first segment, we're going to go in and we're going to rate the command, whether it be a NASCAR race, an IndyCar race, whatever. There may be a couple of them at times, but you can set this one up so that this one has some Austin ties. And, of course, the commands are important now that Matthew McConaughey kind of set the stage here at COTA.
Yeah, he did. He set the stage for COTA for sure, but definitely going to be it's a fun segment because you and I always text back and forth at the end of the commands anyways, just to kind of say that was good or that was horrible, that one sucked, that was okay.
Yeah, people like to critique the anthem. I ain't touching that because if somebody says you sing it, I'll suck. So here's a command from Sonoma, and this is head coach of the San Francisco 49ers, former UT, very synonymous name. It is Shano. Here's Kyle Shanahan. We'll rate it throughout the program, and we want you to check in on the Specs text line as well.
Hello, faithful. Hey, we've missed you guys, man. So pumped to see you guys in Levi's again this year. Hey, on that note, let's get this started. Drivers! Start your engines!
I ain't got no problem with that.
The lead into it was a little rough, but I mean, he's happy to have fans back at Levi, just like we're happy to have fans back at Sonoma and any racetrack for that matter. But the actual command itself, the drivers start your engines, that was pretty good. That was pretty solid. I give that a good solid B, B plus on it. Maybe a real low A minus, kind of right in there.
Yeah.
Depending on which side of the bed you wake up on.
Yeah, I was thinking a B also. I love when they bring it from the diaphragm. You know when you let it fly. And I mean, there's been some crappy ones. I mean, we may go back and find some bad ones. That way, you'll see what we're actually dealing with. But check in Specs text line 337-3776. Your thoughts on that command? We'll see what happens tomorrow. I guess we have at least three choices to figure out from TV this week.
Yeah, at least a couple from the IndyCar stuff and all that. So wait, should we go letter grade or should we go like a 10?
Let's go 1 to 10. What do you give that one?
About an 8.
Okay.
The intro made it a little long, so I'll give it about an 8.
Yeah, plus I don't care about the 49ers, so I'll give it a 7. But we'll take that out of there. We'll take the team alliances out of there. I'll give it a 7. So drop those in on the text line if you'd like. It is Rate the Command, presented by AMM Collision, our title sponsor. Just great folks. Family owned since 1991. Still doing it right here in Austin. It is AMM Collision. Coming up, NASCAR All-Star Race, Texas, or NASCAR is back in Texas. And it is the debut of the the SRX, and we'll break that down for you. This is Revved Up ATX on the Horn. We're live, local, and digital. Streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Dropping the green flag on racing and motorsports coverage. It's Revved Up ATX, brought to you by AMM Collision on the Horn, where Austin talks racing.
Revved Up ATX on the Horn, it's 104.9 and 101.9 FM, AM 1260, always streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Bobby Chaffee, John Reichel, Rodney Rodriguez, and all of you. As we talk motorsports on your weekends, our Saturday morning lineup rolling along right here on the Horn with Revved Up ATX. Rate the Command we had right there with Kyle Shanahan. That's our new segment presented by AMM Collision. Let's ask the man behind the glass. Let's ask John Reichel. So, John, it's an important. Seriously, it is. It's like the hors d'oeuvres, you know, to set you up for the race. I mean, if you know you have a snoozer of a race at a track that maybe doesn't give you some of the excitement, you know, Bobby, like a Pocono race, you know, you want a good command. Your thoughts with Shanahan? I mean, what do you think of that? We'll always come to you.
Yes. I'm not qualified for much, but I am qualified to give an opinion on stuff. So. This is what I'm feeling. So I agree with you. I would give it like a B, a strong 7. You know, I prefer more of a Bruce Buffer style, like big, like orchestral, like start your engines type. But
orchestral?
If I want to go for like more.
I learned me a new word today. Orchestral.
Orchestral, yeah.
Nice.
So, but with that being said, if I want a raspy, like kill your own throat style scream, I think I would go back to Guy Fieri's back in the 2015 All-Star race.
All right.
Let's play it for you today, shall we?
All right.
Drivers, start your engines!
Damn, that hurts.
But is that too much, though?
You know, for the All-Star race, for the All-Star race, I mean, you really want to bring it. You really want to bring it, but I don't know. Yeah, that is a little much for me. But I'm with you, though. I mean, I like the booming. I like the booming voice. I don't know. I mean, that Yeah, that's kind of right there on the borderline for me.
Yeah, this is where my opinion is on it. If you're going to go with the like the throat killer voice, I want it to feel like it's going to kill your throat.
Like it hurts.
Right? I want you to put it all out there.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a good point. And that one, I don't know. What do you think, Bobby? I don't know. That's a tough one.
That's a tough one. I mean, it depends on the vibe of the race, though. Like, for the All-Star race, because you have the Open and you've got some of the other stuff, depending on when they give the command for the All-Star stuff, depends on when that kind of fits into it. Guy Fieri's done a couple of them. He's done a couple of them at Vegas, too. So far, I still like the one that David Carr did.
He was good.
At the beginning of the season there in Vegas. That's been my favorite one so far. So maybe we'll try to find that clip, either not this week or next week. But I don't know. Guys was a bit much, but it was the All-Star race.
But it's weird, though, because you do get... Drivers, start your engines. I'm like, come on, man. You're putting me to sleep here, for crying out loud. I mean, we get those. We get those. And I like it. I like it when you get a strong female command. I mean, when they come in and they lay it down, it's like, yeah, then you're ready. So we'll continue to do that. We will do rate the command. We want to hear from you. 337-3776 on the Specs text line. Let us know what you think, or if you remember one that was good, we'll research it, go get it, and we'll play it. And because these date back forever, and of course the Indy 500 is always a beautiful one. I mean, you had Mary Holman George that would do hers, and you know, a lot of people would probably say, well, that one sucks, but no. That's not the point. Those may be a little bit of what I'm talking about driver, start your engines, but that's a whole different one.
Rogers
don't,
was
don't
good.
Pick on her.
The one that Roger did for the Indy 500 over the last couple was really good.
Roger,
it's okay.
Was good,
to, I'm okay
man.
With the little intro, but like when on behalf of the 5,000.
Yeah,
the 5,000 workers and at ABC Widgets and all of that.
Yeah,
and we're
man.
Happy to be part of NASCAR, and we're really good. Drivers start.
Yeah.
Don't give me I'm okay with Shanahan's little lead in just a little
sure,
bit. Give
absolutely.
A little lead in.
Yeah.
But don't give me the whole spiel of the bio of the company that I can read off on the website.
Right. You're standing up there about to do this wearing a billboard of the company. And again, I know they pay for this stuff, but you're standing up there. I mean, just give me the command. I mean, I don't need all of that. I mean, I can turn the radio, like you said, I can turn the radio commercial on and hear all of that. So that's going to be fun. That's going to be fun because there are a lot of those. And we'll do that. We'll rate those. All-Star Race, speaking of the All-Star Race, great call right there by JR. All-Star Race is in Texas for the first time at the Texas Motor Speedway over in No Limits, Texas, which is in Justin, which is in Fort Worth, whatever you want to go, outside of Fort Worth. This is going to be a fantastic event. Before we get to that, Bobby, though, I did get, I had a lot of tweets and stuff, folks asking me about NASCAR's decision this week to slow the cup cars down on the super speedways a little bit. They're going to back them off about 7 to 10 miles an hour because it stems back to the Logano crash over at Talladega, and that was a scary crash. I mean, Logano was obviously shaken up pretty bad after that. So they're working with that tapered spacer a little bit, and honestly, friends, you're not going to really realize the difference. Yes, when they pop telemetry up and all of that, but safety really is the number one aspect here for NASCAR when they're doing this. And when you see something like that, and especially stemming after the Ryan Newman incident at Daytona in 2020, which seems like forever ago, you have to tweak this up a little bit. I mean, if anything, just to do a little damage control.
I think it's more damage control than anything. You're right. You won't be able to tell the difference between 7 to 10 miles an hour on a super speedway as close as they're running together. But I still think it's not going to matter, right? These cars are still going to go 190 miles an hour. You spin one of them backwards, physics is going to lift that car off the ground.
Absolutely. You know, I was thinking, I flew to Mobile, to and from Mobile last weekend, and I was thinking about that. Had the advancements of NASCAR. I was sitting by the window, and every time we'd get ready to land, you know, you hit the ground and that roof flap or the wing flap pops up. And I mean, the technology into these cars, you can do so many different things to them to try to prevent these things from happening. But when you get at those speeds and these cars get out of control, honestly, they're running out of control. I mean, these guys, it's the loose nut sitting behind the wheel that I like to talk about that's just kind of guiding this thing. At these super speedways, I think the spotter is actually a lot of times the one driving the car because he's the one kind of trying to guide the driver through this. One little slip up and this 3,500-pound beast gets out of control and you don't know if it's going up, down, sideways, whatever's going to happen.
No, you really don't. I mean, these guys are racing together closer than you park in a parking lot.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way that the way that the super speedway beast is designed to roll right now. But realistically, when you get that big of a disruption in the air and you get a car that turns sideways or a car that turns backwards, the way that these cars are designed, there's only so many different ways, especially with the big downforce. If those cars get backwards, with the way the downforce is designed to go in the front of the car. You get one of them cars backwards, they're going to flip over whether they're doing 120 miles an hour or 200 miles an hour.
Yeah, and this, like we said, this isn't going to be a noticeable change. You'll only see it if you pay real close attention to, if you're on the NASCAR app and you're a diehard watcher of that, you'll see a little bit of a speed difference there when they get back to Daytona. Of course, this is, and what this does, this is going to be the race right before you set your playoff field to 16, but the impact's not really going to be what people are wanting it or acting like it's going to be, because as we say, the competition's still going to be what it is. You're still going to be nose to tail. These guys are going to be out of control, and you're still going to have, you know, you're going to be on the edge of disaster, flirting with disaster, in the words of Molly Hatchett, at all times on the racetrack. So this isn't going to be a noticeable change, but it is something that NASCAR is doing moving forward. All-Star Race and the Open at Texas Motor Speedway for the first time as it gets away from Charlotte. It was at Atlanta back in the day, but it does make the move over to Texas. This All-Star Race, to me, is Texas Motor Speedway is a great place for it just because of everything that Texas Motor Speedway does leading up to the events. This will be Eddie Gossage's final event at TMS, so I would think they'll really pull out lots of crazy stuff here, but TMS is not the most conducive to exciting action at times. What do you think is going to happen here?
The only plus with the All-Star Race being in Texas is it's hot, and every time the track is really hot at TMS, it gets hot, slippery, and greasy. The racing is tending to get a lot better. The problem is, though, the All-Star Race itself is going to be tomorrow night at like 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. And that's, I don't know, I just have a feeling that we're going to fall back. I know there's more traction compound that went on the racetrack this morning. I saw our man Bob Pockrass with Fox Sports, NASCAR on Fox, tweeted that out. So they're going to do that. I mean, you've got Xfinity and trucks racing today as well. Those races will probably be pretty good. But I don't know. I just think that, and you know, the format changes and everything, that there's been a lot of back and forth. And this All-Star race has always been one, you know, you had the first race with Waltrip where he supposedly hits the clutch going through and hand grenades the Junior Johnson, maybe a little bit big motor right there. You had the pass in the grass. You had Rusty Wallace and Darrell Waltrip. And, you know, 92, you had the Davey Allison, Kyle Petty, you know, the one hot night or whatever that was. But you've got those highlights. But when we really talk about the All-Star race, those are the four highlights we see. It's not really been a race, in my opinion, that's really caught on. But the concept of it is, it's an All-Star race, but, I mean, it's an All-Star race that everybody can be in. And that's kind of always been the detractor for me.
That's the way I've always thought about the All-Star race. Every single cup race is an All-Star race because all the guys are in it. The reason the All-Star stuff works with all the other sports is because you have the different superstars from the different teams that are all in one place at the same time.
Right.
That's what makes the Pro Bowl, well, not that the Pro Bowl's any good, but basically...
I love that game.
Well, but it doesn't have... They don't play very hard. The only one they seem to actually remotely play would be the not the NBA, the definitely no NBA All-Star game, but with the Major League Baseball.
Major League Baseball. Yeah.
But yeah, every single cup race is an All-Star race. The only difference is not every single cup race pays $1 million to win. I think that's the only thing that makes the All-Star race really special, because now you can visualize it, right? When you think about, a couple of $100,000, yeah, that's a lot of money for me and you. But when you talk about $1 million race to win, that puts a different visual, puts a different set of glasses on to watch that race when you know these guys are racing for $1 million.
Yeah, it will. And they'll have, you know, purpose-built cars for this race. I mean, it's built up to where what I'm talking about there. Yes, they'll have cars just for this race, you know, in case the gloves come off. But we haven't seen that. I mean, you had the year where Michael Waltrip punched his way out of the All-Star race or out of the Open and got in and won. You know, you had that when he drove for the Wood Brothers. But it just, I don't know. There's, I've always thought with this, if you had the All-Star race and maybe you, I don't know, you know, they're in the same cars. I mean, it's really the same car. I mean, you change the rule package up. I mean, they tried to vary it up last year. They threw us a curveball. Yeah, let's move the numbers and move the sponsors. I don't give a damn about that. It's still the same car. And, you know, anyone can get in, you know, to trim it down a little bit, but then, if you do that, I mean, because I remember the days when the Busch class was seven cars. And I mean, if you do that now, folks are already saying that stuff gets mundane and it's boring. I mean, I don't know what you do to this all-star race. Hell, I thought, let them get out and do a hurdles like American Gladiators or something, and then get in the car and take off. I mean, something to add some pizzazz to it, because when it starts, I mean, it kind of just becomes another race. I mean, I don't know if you tell the guys, make it competitive. I mean, I don't know what you do. I don't know what you do.
Well, I think that ever since the T-Rex came along, and we talked about the infamous T-Rex car, which actually led to a lot of new design of the race cars and stuff. But for those that don't know, the T-Rex car was a promotion that Jeff Gordon did with Jurassic Park. They had a big T-Rex on the car, and it just went out and it dominated. It went out and waxed the entire field fairly badly. and I think he led everything. I think he led when it was used to just be like four segments or whatever. But he led everything, dominated. That car was so outside the box that NASCAR Grant confiscated it and said, if you ever bring anything else like this to the racetrack, we will park you for good.
Yeah, that happened. That really happened. I mean, and then we had the year. I'll tell you that we had the year. I mean, this race, it's like that baby calf that just, it can't get up, you know, and the legs slide out. You remember the year that they started and it was wet and they all crashed?
It rained. Yeah.
They all crashed and they're like, oh, well, go ahead and go get another car. And hell, Gordon won that one too. So, you know, it's the fix is in, you know, whatever the case may be. It's just that they haven't been able to nail this one. And I don't know what it's going to take. I mean, I've kind of thought that it could be just don't do it. I mean, kind of like the Brickyard.
Well,
I don't know.
The fact that the All-Star race is showing its importance when they decided to do an All-Star race in the middle of a pandemic. Granted, when they moved the race from Charlotte to Bristol, I think they did that just because there was already so many races that was happening in Charlotte.
Yeah,
because they kept moving a lot of the West Coast stuff over to Charlotte. So I think that would made sense. But when we talked to people in the NASCAR industry, there's like, we're shocked that they actually did the All-Star race. We didn't think that was going to be a priority this year. And then they moved it. Obviously, it was moved back a little bit versus in the say it was late summer versus this early part of the summer like it is this year and has been, you know, right before Memorial Day. But, yeah, the fact that they ran it last year in a pandemic shows NASCAR still views, there we go, NASCAR still views this race as one of the most important races on the calendar.
Absolutely. And for the first time, it's in Texas. And it is. It's a great place because they spare no dime when it comes to promoting and pre-race stuff. Know a lot of folks that are down there this weekend. It's going to be good stuff. The All-Star Race and the Open coming up at Texas Motor Speedway all weekend. Xfinity and the trucks, they are racing today. Coming up, we've got to talk about that SRX. That may be the more funner thing going on this weekend. So we'll talk about SRX. Got to get you set for places for races, pit stop news and notes, and more. This is Revved Up ATX on the Horn. As always, live, local, and digital, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Dropping the green flag on racing and motorsports coverage. It's Revved Up ATX, brought to you by AMM Collision on the Horn, where Austin talks racing.
Good stuff from JR John Reichel behind the glass. It's Revved Up ATX on the Horn. Saturdays continue to fly along. Rot Rally in town, Mark Henry's birthday, and don't forget, 8 o'clock tonight, it is the Super Regional over at over for the University of Texas, Dish Falk Field. It'll be the Charlie Strong Invitational. Longhorns looking to try to punch that ticket to Omaha once again. 8 o'clock, 7:45 will be your pregame with Craig Way and, I believe, Keith Moreland back with him. So Keith Moreland with him. So 8 o'clock tonight, 8 o'clock tomorrow, and then Monday afternoon if necessary. But from what we've seen from Texas, man, they are just going, blowing and going. So Texas maybe two in barbecue and heading on to Omaha. That is at 8 o'clock, and, of course, you'll hear it right here on the Horn. Been talking NASCAR, IndyCar, Formula One, but super excited this weekend, Bobby. It is the debut of SRX, the Superstar Racing Experience. I like this. It's somewhat of the old IROC feel. It's got a little bit of the IROC feel, but it's being done on short tracks. I was talking to some folks this morning in Houston. It has a little bit of that feel where it's IROC. People loved IROC. They wanted IROC back, but it's on the short tracks. I really like this concept.
Well, it's a very interesting concept with the drivers that they have part of it. And they also added in the local stars, too.
Exactly.
Where you're going to have, you know, three or four local drivers that are going to compete against these all-stars, the pros, or whatever you want to senior racers, whatever you want to call them, right? Just because a lot of them are retired champions and retired, you know, influential figures in the world of racing. But this is not a Cup Series competitor. No, this is not. They are basically high-end super late models with a super late with a very unique super late model body on them.
This is going to compete more with short tracks, I think, honestly, when it comes down to it, especially being slotted in on a Saturday night on CBS. So this is what CBS feels is going to be their motorsport product moving forward on a large mainstream platform. So it is, they'll be at Stafford tonight. That's in Connecticut. Here's who you have. You got Ernie Francis Jr. You got Elio Castroneves, Bill Elliott, Tony Kanaan. There's Doug Kobe, six-time Whelen Modified champion. There's your ringer. There's your local, if you want to call it. Paul Tracy, Tony Stewart, Michael Waltrip, Willie T. Ribbs, who, by the way, I saw on Twitter this morning, rocking a two-piece driving suit, my man Willie T.
Look at that, man, a two-piece driving suit. He is one of a kind. If you still hadn't gone back and listened to that interview, one, what you've been waiting for, number two, you got to go back and listen to that interview with Willie T. Ribbs.
Absolutely. HornFM.com. What a fantastic conversation we had there with him. The elder statesman. What do you say? He's the AARP driver of the series right there. But that dude, he wants to win. You can see it. The picture of him standing in the two-piece suit, he's got his hands on his hips. He's looking down at the car, and it's like the dude's ready. He's ready to go.
Yeah, no, it's going to be awesome. I can't wait to watch him race that car tonight.
Yeah. Also got Bobby Labonte, Greg Biffle, Marco Andretti. That'll be your lineup. And I love how they're doing this. I mean, it's very much a Saturday night short track show. You'll run 15-lap heat races. There's a random draw to set the lineup for those heat races. You'll run the 15-lap heat races. That sets your starting lineup. And then you have, and they are totally going. They are totally going short track, Bobby, because they call it a 100-lap feature. Feature race.
A feature race. Not a main event, but a feature race.
That's right. Not a finale. A feature race. So that's going to be really cool to watch. And this, with Kobe in there, this is his place. This is his place there at Stafford. Now, he's from Connecticut, so he's going to be the one. You add that flair. You'll have Haley Deegan in here at some point. I really like Alan Bestwick's going to be the play-by-play guy. Lindsey Zarniak will be the host. You'll have Danica Patrick in there at various points. I think Matt Yoakum is the pit reporter, I believe. I may be wrong with that.
I think that's right.
Okay, so it's going to be a really good lineup. I think it's just going to be a different product, and we referenced that Legends race way back when you know, we darn near got somebody killed when we had really elder statesmen trying to drive in that race. But I think this is a mix of guys right here where this is a competitive field. These are guys, I mean, when you look at the Paul Tracy's and Tony Stewart's and these guys right here, these guys, especially in those big-bodied stock cars, they're going to be leaning on each other in this race.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and some of these guys can still get it done. Tony Stewart hops into a sprint car, and he can still win and wheel anywhere around the country. Now, granted, he's been spending a lot more time in his drag strip world now, the drag racing world with his fiancée.
Don't blame him.
Yeah, I can't blame him for that. But, you know, Paul Tracy hadn't been in a race car in a long time. Be interested to see how he's going to fare. And some of these guys haven't been in cars in a while. I think Bobby Labonte is going to be a dark horse to win because he's been running those modifieds. Little bigger car, little but different tire and all that, but definitely going to be a change. Helio Castroneves, I want to see him after coming off the emotion and the complete elation of winning at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, coming into running now on a short track. You talk about a good get for the SRX.
Absolutely.
I mean,
man.
Granted, they didn't get him thinking he wasn't a new addition just because he won the four-time Indianapolis 500. He's been part of this crew the whole time, and the timing works perfect. It is going to be weird, though, to see Alan Bestwick on CBS. I always thought that CBS had a different form of coverage, right? Back in the day when they would do the Daytona 500 on CBS, CBS just had the cameras looked a little different. The sound of it was a little different. The announcers and stuff sounded different. So it's going to be weird actually hearing Alan Bestwick on something other than ABC, ESPN, or MRN.
And I'm just glad he's back. I mean, because that's one of the guys that I put right there, you know, in my handful of really great race callers. I mean, that is a guy, and I mean, our buddies from PRN and MRN, I mean, not just because we, you know, spent time with them at COTA, but that's the way you do it right there. But Bestwick is, AB is a really great race caller. So good to see him back there. But I will be curious with Elio and Kanaan, I mean, being that they are still, you know, very active in IndyCar racing, this is a big, wide, heavy car. So this is going to be something very different for them. And Biffle, you know, Biffle is a guy, we see him jump in a truck and he's instantaneously competitive. So I think Biffle's going to be really good. Of course, Kobe, you can't factor him out. But I mean, Willie T. I mean, I'm curious to see what Willie T. I think Willie T. Ribb's going to lay the bumper on somebody pretty quick, probably in the heat race.
Him and Paul Tracy together on one racetrack at the same time. That's just, man, if you're a fan of racing and you recognize those two names, that should get you to flip on the TV tonight to watch it.
I saw Bill Elliott at COTA. We saw Bill Elliott at COTA in the winner's press conference there. Bill Elliott looks, fit as a 40-year-old. He's going to be up on that wheel, too. You know Bill Elliott. With the success that we're seeing from Chase being the current Cup champion, you know Bill Elliott wants to let people know million dollar Bill is the Dawsonville guy, not so much Chase.
Yeah, he's now turned into Chase's dad, than Awesome
right.
Bill from Dawsonville. So he's got a little bit of ego to make up for now. But the whole field is very intriguing when you think about it. Everybody's got their unique story. Even somebody like Marco Andretti, who's not necessarily an all star, but he comes with that Andretti bloodline, and he's taken a step back from his IndyCar stuff. I think he's going to be one to watch to see how he handles a stock car. He doesn't have a lot of experience in full body cars.
Yep. And you got Jeff Hammond. You got all these guys working on these cars. So this is going to be good. Random draw for the car. You don't get any time. You don't get to do anything with the car. We told the Bobby Unser story that, we may have something like that, but you get what you get. But Darrell Waltrip is one that I always talked about, and I'm sure this is going to be the case with this as well, where he would talk about an IROC. He was like, I think he said it was like in 85 or one of those years, that they always knew that the dark blue car was the good one. So if you drew that one, that was going to be the one. So we'll see. It's going to be fun. It's going to be 6 weeks of watching it. Man, I'd love to see him. I'd love to see him Pensacola. Mobile, I'd love to see him in Mobile. Houston, that'd be cool.
That'd be fun in Houston, wouldn't it?
It'd be a lot of fun in Houston. I think that'd be a great challenge for them. That is on CBS tonight. We'll have the times coming up for you here in Places for Races coming up here in just a couple minutes. Let's go over, speaking of Places for Races, we'll double stack that up with our, what's it called? Pit Stop News and Notes, presented by Audiovisual Consultations. Our man Tom McKay, 255-8678. They will take care of your home theater needs, whether you want couple of screens, one screen with booming sound. When Mike Joy says crank it up, we always say that. When Mike Joy says crank it up, you crank it up on a Tom McKay system, and your neighbors are going to hear you. It is AV Consultations, avconsultations.com, proud sponsor of the Crank It Up NASCAR Fantasy Racing League at nascar.com. Bobby, have to talk about Caden Honeycutt, one of our guys. He wins in that Cars Tour that we love so much. For Caden Honeycutt, I want folks to remember that name, and we probably need to get him on this Saturday show. Caden Honeycutt is a name that you are going to be hearing on your Saturday, your Sundays, coming very soon. This is a young kid out of Texas, about 16 years old. He jumps back and forth from late models to pro late models to super late models over to dirt late models. It doesn't matter what he gets in. He drives the tar out of it and lots of times parks in a victory lane. This kid is a real talent.
Yeah, no, he's one of the he's not quite a generational talent, but he's definitely one of those kids that you know when you watch him, he's got that it factor that we talk about.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what he's got, and he's been competitive. The car owners talk to us all the time. They say they want somebody that's competitive in anything they get in. That's what they look for, along with a little bit of sponsorship. That helps too. But he is competitive, runs top five, top three, and wins in every single class of car that he runs in, including some of the iRacing stuff.
Yeah, he does. And he does that other thing that a lot of young drivers do not do. He works on them. He works on them as well. So remember that name, Caden Honeycutt. You'll say, hey, I heard that on Revved Up ATX on the Horn. Kevin Magnussen off of the Formula One series, now in IMSA GT. He will be on the pole tomorrow at Detroit in the IMSA GT Daytona prototype. So how about Magnussen, man? That's a nice step over, and that's a good fit for him right there.
It really is a good fit. That's a good team with Chip Ganassi Racing and the Cadillac sponsorship or Cadillac Alliance they've got over there. So Chip Ganassi Racing, he's strong in everything he runs in except for the Cup Series.
Yeah. Bobby, couple of NASCAR notes. Got to jump back to that, man. Your man Keselowski, he keeps getting thrown into that conversation about Roush Fenway maybe moving over there, part ownership into that group right there. This thing is catching steam, and he's not confirming. He's not denying it. This week he said he'd make a decision when the time was, or he would talk about it when the time was right. I don't know, man. I think this one might have some legs to it.
I think so. With the way he's been running at Penske,
yep,
with the distraction of maybe going over to Roush and being a co-owner, it's definitely showing his performance on the racetrack. It's one of those when we've talked about it before, when the rumors just don't go away.
Yep.
There's certain times when a rumor pops up, oh, that's not going to happen. But this is one of those stories that's just not going away. In fact, you're learning more and more details about it. Supposedly, it's one of the worst-kept secrets in the garage, but it already leaked, and so it looks like he is going to end up going over to Roush. It just depends on what he's going to drive, if it's going to be a two-car or three-car team.
Ryan Newman and Brad Keselowski. Wow. Daddy, how about that? But, I mean, for Ford, I mean, that's great. I mean, That's your Chevrolet equivalent to Jeff Gordon right there, is Brad Keselowski, if that indeed does happen. John Hunter Nemechek was announced this week. He'll get another opportunity there. He'll go to the Joe Gibbs Racing number 54 for the races coming up in the fall at Bristol, Texas, and Phoenix. So another great opportunity there for him. Really good driver right there. Hopefully he's going to be able to get that established. Interesting stuff happening as well in NASCAR. Justin Marks says Trackhouse could expand to maybe a two-car team as well. We've heard that already from 2311, and Bobby, I heard this week, you may have probably heard the same thing, courtesy of Adam Stern, is that Kurt Busch has already talked to both of those teams.
That's kind of a surprise. I thought he really enjoyed his fit in Ganassi, but it depends on what Monster wants to do. I see him going to Trackhouse before I see him going to 2311, because I just don't see Monster hooking up with Michael Jordan with his ties to Gatorade and stuff like that.
Yeah. And lastly, Adam Stern also talking about interesting news that Jeff Gordon may step out of that Fox booth with Mike Joy and Clint Bowyer and head to deeper alliances, deeper partnerships, deeper
responsibilities.
Thank you. I'm not good with that word, so that's why I can't find it. With Hendrick, and we saw him at Texas. He's very deeply entrenched in Hendrick.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's done a fairly good job in the booth not being pro Hendrick as he could.
Yeah.
But he's definitely, he's the only minority owner in Hendrick Motorsports, so it looks like Rick, that would be the one person that Rick Hendrick would kind of turn it over to where he wouldn't have to go to as many races as he does.
Yeah, and he said publicly that that would be the guy. That would be his guy. So good stuff right there. That is Pit Stop Needs and Notes, Places for Races. I know you got a lot of stuff, man.
Well, it's a lot of stuff. It's basically just giving you the times and the networks on the races we've been talking about all day. The trucks at TMS coming up here at high noon as soon as we're done. The Speedy Cash 220, that's on FS1 at 11. Xfinity Series 3 p.m. Detroit doubleheader 1 p.m. today. SRX 7 p.m. on KI tomorrow. Second race at IndyCar 11:30 on KXAN NBC. And then the All-Star Race Open is 5 o'clock. All-Star Race itself, green flag about 7:10. It's also the last race on Fox for the 2021 season.
Heading over to NBC moving forward. Enjoy Rot Rally. Hook 'em horns. Take care of business. Let's head to Omaha. We'll know by Monday. We're back here next Saturday. Enjoy your SRX, your All-Star Race. For Bobby and John, I'm Rodney. It's Revved Up ATX, live, local, and digital, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.